I appreciate so very much the humble prayer by my good friend Brother Wood. Your prayers and your good attention last night, and always to be in the fellowship of my yoke brethren in the ministry, especially Brother David, Brother Addison, Brother Hayes, Brother Wood, Brother Stewart. Did I leave out somebody back there? But we're always happy to be with you, and I ask a continued interest in your prayers that what I might say from the time that I stand before you this morning would be beneficial to you and glorifying to God. I will call your attention this morning to Psalms chapter 116, beginning with verse 12. Psalms 116, beginning with verse 12. David records here, and notice the terminology that he uses. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's a question. Then he answers that question. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That always seemed to me, in this particular psalm, that the language was somewhat scattered or separated from one another. Now, I know in reality that's not so, because if every word of this scripture is true, and I affirm that it is, then there's not a scripture in the Bible that will not harmonize with that scripture when it is rightly divided and properly applied.
Amen.
So David says here, ask the question before all the people, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What am I going to return? What am I going to give? What shall be my offering to the Lord for all his benefits? You know, I've been in governmental offices for nearly 30 years. And right now, we're living in a time that I thought I would never see. And I think probably that's your mindset this morning also. But we are having problems filling positions for employment that we've never had a problem like that before. 3 years ago, everybody was standing in line to get a job. Yeah. Today, nobody wants one.
Yeah.
And the reason that 3 years ago, most people were standing in job with my side of government was, their question was, it really doesn't matter what the pay is, but what is the benefit? What's the benefit? Well, I would have to sit down, or some of my staff would have to sit down, and we'd have to not only go through the pay scales and how that went up and how it played out in the end, but we'd have to go through the insurance program, the retirement program, and all the other programs that are benefits with DeKalb County, Alabama, the state of Alabama. The word benefit, and I really didn't know this, and as many times have I said it. Do you know what the word benefit means? It means hyper. Comes from a word, means hyper. You know what hyper is? I got a granddaughter that's hyper, amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Some of you may be hyper. My dad had that problem. He wanted me to do something and he was hyper. I couldn't do it quick enough. That's how hyper he was. And I'll not belabor that point with you, but I want you to understand that a benefit is something that is above and beyond what is normal. It's hyper. That's what a hyper energetic person is. He's energetic above and beyond what is normal for anybody. Well, David said, what shall I render? What shall I return unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, I'll tell you, you've got something in common with one another that Titus called the common faith. And that's common, that faith that is common to all the elect of God. You all get it the same way. You all keep it the same way. And it is common, or it is something that all the family of God, if they don't possess it now, they will possess it. Because of God's work in them. And yet, there are benefits that are above and beyond that common faith to the child of God. There are blessings that God bestows upon us as unworthy characters as we are. And David recognized that when he said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And no doubt his mind could run back to the time of a child when he faced Goliath and when he grew up in a home with many brothers. And no doubt that he could look back on his life and see the extraordinary blessings that God had blessed him with.
Yes.
And his lips utter this very thing and says, I will take what? The cup of salvation.
Yeah.
And call upon the name of the Lord. Now you know that is a simple answer to a complicated question.
Yeah, amen.
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, if you go back and you'll study about a cup, you know a cup was an important thing in the Bible.
Yes, it was.
Cup was an important thing. Tell you how important it was, and I'll tell you how important it is to me. You know what? When I get up in the morning, I'm a coffee drinker.
Yeah.
You know what? I want my cup.
Yeah.
Y'all got it like that? I don't drink out of just any kind of cup. I've got one I've had 35 years. I don't want to drink out of another cup. I want my cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't taste as good out of something else. I want my cup. Now you think that's strange? Well, I want to tell you right now, that's not out of the ordinary. That's Bible. If you read the book of Samuel, that when that prophet came to David and pointed his bony finger in his face and said, you're the man that's caused all this trouble about this ewe lamb. Do you know how important that ewe lamb was? That ewe lamb drank out of this man's cup. Now you think about that. That's how important that ewe lamb was. Drank out of his cup. The cup of salvation. I'll take the cup of salvation. When Jesus was in the world and he met with those disciples in the upper room. Do you know what he did? And Paul recounts it in 1 Corinthians 11. He reiterates the words of Jesus when he talks about the wine. And he said, in the same manner he took the cup and blessed it and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. It had reference to the cup.
Yeah.
The cup. When Joseph's brethren left down in the land of Goshen where Joseph was and they returned back up there to where old crippled Jacob was, they poured out some sacks of corn and you know what they found? They found a silver cup. Silver cup. David says that I will take this cup of salvation. I want to tell you right now, my friend, that you individually and personally and in your very being, in your thought, in your relationship with God, you are in possession of a cup of salvation. Yes, sir. You're in possession of a cup. The cup is a vessel. I'll tell you right now, in the house of God, Paul tells us there are vessels to honor and to dishonor. There are vessels like that. The cup that he talked about here is the cup of salvation, that work of salvation. I'll take the memory of those deliverances, and he says this. He says that I will call upon the name of the Lord when the priest himself made an offering. Do you know what he did? He took a cup.
Yeah.
He poured oil and wine upon the altar. There was a cup that God required. I don't have time to go into everything about the cups in the Bible, but I want to tell you one thing. It is very important. And during the days of the personal ministry of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 20, the Bible tells us after that he talked about the parables of the workers. And when he began to explain to some people there that came in contact with him, the Bible said in Matthew 20:20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him, but she wanted something. What'd she want? All right, let's read about it. Wanting a certain thing of him. You know, there are people that can come to me, and I do it every day. When they show up, I know they're wanting something. You know that? Usually I can't do it, but they're wanting something. They never call me. I never hear from them. But I'll tell you, when I do, I get ready. I start ready to write. You know, where I can remember it because they want something.
Yeah.
But here was the mother of Zebedee's children. She came worshiping him, but she wanted something. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? Or what do you want? And she saith unto him, Lord, I want you to grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now, don't you understand what kind of question that was?
Yeah.
I mean, that's beyond me to think that here was a woman that would come and say, Lord, I want you to do something for me. Now, I'm a worshiper, I'll give you. And I think down deep in her soul, Brother Luke, that she thought he owed it to her. Most folks think you owe them something. But if they ever do something for you, I mean, look, you owe us something back. And that usually gets around to that. No doubt this woman had been a faithful woman. She worshipped him. Now, Lord, I want you to do something for me. I want you to set one child on your right hand, one hand on your left hand. And you know what Jesus told her? He said, you know what you're talking about. You know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I drink of? You listen to this now. Are ye able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you right now, there was going to come a time in the life of Jesus that he was going to drink of the cup that belonged to him and him alone. He was going to be baptized with the baptism that was to him and him alone. And it was a cup of suffering. It was a baptism of death. Jesus said to her, he says, "Are you able to do these things?" You know what she said? "Oh, we're able." We're able. How foolish we are sometimes. How foolish we are. I want to tell you, no man, woman, child that ever lived in any age was able to drink of the cup that Jesus was. Men have today the idea that they themselves, Christ made salvation possible. He made it available, but when he died, there was no surety in what he did. Well, brother, I want to tell you right now, when Jesus died, the assurance had already been made. The assurance of success was already done. And I'm going to say this in Sand Mountain language. It was a done deal from the start. And I affirm to you today that when Jesus died, the possibility did not exist of his failure. The possibility did not exist that he might lose sight of his purpose and his ministry in life. I'll tell you, Jesus said in his own words, that this is read right, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And I'm telling you that if it was his purpose to do the will of him that sent me, he did that will to its complete and in a formidable success. He arose from the dead from the baptism of death.
Amen.
You know what baptism is? It's a picture of death. It died to one thing.
Yeah.
Made alive to something else, and you arise to walk in the newness of life. And Jesus was baptized in the earth, buried in the earth, raised from the dead. And I'll tell you right now, that was the full assurance of who he was and what he was. He never surrendered his oneness with the Father when he left heaven's pure world.
No.
He was one with the Father in every degree.
Amen.
And yet God manifests in the flesh. That's something that I can't understand. That's something that it's above my pay grade. But I want to tell you, I know it's so because the Bible says so.
Amen.
I know it's so. When the Bible begins to talk again here in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, when the Bible tells me that Jesus, during the last days of his life, came to a place just outside the city walls of Jerusalem called Gethsemane. And listen to what takes place. He had just told Peter that before the cock would crow, he'd deny him three times. And the Bible says that Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise said all the disciples. You know, I missed that for years. I accused Peter of that, but all the other disciples said the same thing. Likewise, all the other disciples said the same thing. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. You know what the word Gethsemane means? All press. All press. It was a garden. It was an olive garden, probably. And it was a clouded garden. It was overgrown. No doubt. Those things, those vines intertwined, but they picked olives from that. And as they picked olives from it, olive oil was a very precious ointment in that day. And they pressed there in that particular place the olive oil from the fruit of those vines that overshadowed where the brook was. Made sense because the brook was close. It caused the vines to be fertile. Caused them to draw water from the earth. The needed minerals that the vines needed to produce its fruit was there at the brook. Jesus with them came to Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray yonder." Now you'll find this again in Mark chapter 14 and to some degree in John 18. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. There they are again. Two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and heavy. That word means downhearted.
Yeah.
And he saith unto them, Jesus said this, "My soul."
Yeah.
Get how important the word is. "My soul is exceeding sorrow."
Amen.
Now you see the humanity creeping out, don't you?
Yeah.
You see us seeing him as the man that his soul was exceeding sorrowful. Not only did he say that, but he didn't stop there. He said, "Even unto death."
Yeah.
"Tarry ye here and watch with me. You stay right here." And he went a little further.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad, Brother Virgil, he went a little further? I'm telling you right now, my friend, you can go as far as you can go, but thank God Jesus went a little further. When you've done all you can do, thank God Jesus went a little further. When you've given all you can give, Jesus went a little further. When you prayed all you can pray, Jesus prayed a better prayer. And he went a little further and fell on his face. You know, last night I talked about a man that fell on his face. You know what that means? A complete reverence.
Yeah.
A complete reverence. Here, Jesus fell on his face in complete reverence to the authority of his Father. You see, that's the reason we call no man reverend. We owe no man that allegiance. No. We owe no man that allegiance. Holy and reverend is his name.
Yeah.
You see? In complete authority, he says here, praying on his face, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." I heard a man say one time, and you probably heard it too, that Jesus prayed three times to try to get out of dying. I want to tell you one thing, my friend. Jesus didn't pray any time trying to get out of dying. Trying to get the Lord to change his mind and go another route. No, sir. He did pray three times, all right.
Yeah.
And he went back to his disciples, and they were all asleep. Finally, he said this. He said, "Sleep on and take your rest. For the Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinful men." But three times he prayed, and he said, "Father, let this cup." Here's a cup that the disciples couldn't take off.
Yeah.
Here's a cup that they could not attain to. It belonged to him.
Yeah.
According to the purpose, the power, and the plan of the great architect of salvation. I'll tell you right now that when you understand today, my friend, that redemption was more than just declaring you innocent of a crime. But when Jesus Christ justified and redeemed you, he sees you today like you had never sinned at all.
Amen.
You see, you're not just a pardoned criminal, but you stand as one who never sinned before the eyes of a holy God.
Praise God.
The other day, Brother Keith's here, he witnessed to it. The other day, I went over to Mount Olive and preached, and I said, "Now I've got to go back. And I said, because I've got to meet with a man at 5 o'clock today that he's come to the conclusion that he's been wrong all this time, and that primitive Baptists have been what he's looking for. Didn't I, Brother Keith? And so I met with him at 5 o'clock. About 3 Sundays ago, he said, now, what I want you to do, he said, I want to hear you talk. He said, and he's a preacher. He said, I'm among the separate Baptist people in our part of the country. And he said, I want to hear you talk and tell me what you believe. I said, well, Brother Barentine, I said, why do you want to hear me talk? He said, because I preached that I believe in the doctrine of election the other day, and said people fell out of the chair. Now you think about that. How shocking that must have been. I'll tell you right now, when you've heard something else all these years, and you've been told that primitive Baptists, and you know, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things primitive Baptists get accused of we're not guilty of. Now we're plenty guilty of a lot of things. But I want to tell you right now, my friend, that most folks, when they tell you about what primitive Baptists believe, most of them never been. Most of them never been. That's right. Well, I sat and talked to Brother Ben for 2 hours. And everything I agreed with, or everything I talked about, he agreed with. But he didn't know the terminology to use. You know what I mean? Terminology makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
You know, terminology makes a difference. We've got terms we use that they never heard of.
Right.
And he preached the same thing I did and yet used a different term with it. I said, we're saying the same thing. I said, but we're using different terms. Well, I want to tell you right now that when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He's not saying with his terms, Father, I want you to get me another way. But he said, I've been the sin bearer from all eternity, and if it be your will, let this cup pass. Let my work be complete now. You see, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Let my work be complete. Let it pass. I was watching the weather the other day, and this kind of clued me in on that. You know what he said? He said, the storm is past.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that means? It's over. It's passed by. It's done. It's completed. And I'll tell you right now, when Jesus went here up to the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't trying to get out of dying, but he said, Father, the time has come, the hour has come. Now let it pass. Let me complete the work. And I hope you understand that. Because when he completed that work, thank God he did it so good it won't have to be done again. Thank God he did it. There'll never be another cup like that cup. There'll never be a cup that another will have to endure. But that cup, my friend, was taken. And Jesus Christ himself broke the dregs of that cup. And as he drunk the dregs of that cup, it was a complete and total success. And as they came and as they arrested him, as they put him on the cross, as they took him down from the cross, they baptized him in the earth. That is, they put him in the earth, but sure as the world, he was going to rise again.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the very heart of the gospel, isn't it, Brother David?
Yeah.
The very heart of the gospel. When someone passes off the stage of action, you don't go over there and try to encourage them with words about living out here in the world. But I want to tell you, you want to encourage them with the message of there's something beyond what's here and now. And all the troubles that we have, I want you to understand there's something that's better than what we've got now.
Yes.
There's something that's better than what we've got now. Listen at what David said when he says here. He understood that. He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all the people. I affirm to you today that when David began to say that, he looked back over his contentious and sinful life and he said, what shall I render unto my God for all his benefits? restored me. He delivered me from the hand of the lion and the bear. He delivered me from a Philistine, an uncircumcised Philistine. He delivered me by his power and by his might. What am I going to render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He said, I'll pay my vows.
Yeah.
I'll pay my vows unto the Lord. I'll pay my vows. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you right now, do you know what? When God Almighty teaches us what we are and where we are, and as we come into his presence, do you know what you're doing this morning? When you lift up your voice and praise to God, do you know what I'm doing this morning and these brethren are doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're paying vows to God.
Yeah.
When you join the church, you vow that you be faithful to him. When I started preaching 52 years ago, I vowed and I said this in that message that day. Back then, they had you to preach before you was ordained. I had to preach that morning before those brethren ordained me. You know what I said that morning? I pray that if I ever forsake the word of God and the doctrine of the church, that my tongue will cleave to the roof of my mouth, where I cannot speak. To you other brethren this morning, I've been preaching longer than anybody here, but I want to tell you one thing today, I pray that if you ever come to the point that you cannot uphold the doctrine of salvation by grace, that your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth. I'm not bitter at you, I'm just giving you a warning. Because I'll tell you, there's times that we get discouraged, there's times that happens like that. And I have to be reminded, what shall I render to my God? What shall I render to my God for all his benefits toward me? I'll pay my vows. I'll be frank with you. This morning I didn't want to get up and drive back over here. You shocked at that? Maybe some of y'all that said, well, I'm just a little bit sluggish this morning. You ever get up on Sunday morning like that? Don't have no Monday morning to go to work. On Sunday morning, get up. I just feel bad. Man, I've got too much to do. You know, I mean, listen. I mean, the best you can do, that filters into your life. It filters into your life. You need to be reminded of the benefits. Amen? You need to be reminded of the benefits. And thank God we've got some benefits to be reminded of. Yes, sir. I'll pay that I vowed. I've got to close right now. But he said, I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all the people. And then he says this, right in the middle of all of that. He says, precious. You know what something precious is? You know he talks about gold, silver, and precious stones. It's something that's highly valued. Highly valued. That's the terminology. Precious. In the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. A woman asked me one time, where did I get my saints? That word saints doesn't mean sinners. That word saints means sanctified. Comes with word. Blessed or precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Did he say precious in the sight of the Lord is the life of the saint? No, that wasn't what he said. But he said precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you know what? I'm convinced the older I get that death really may be a benefit.
Yeah.
Hear me?
That's right.
Now, I don't know whether you like that or not. Don't care. I'll be gone a little while. But I want to tell you right now, there comes a time in the life of the child of God that death is a benefit.
Yeah.
I held my daddy's hand. He drew his last breath. After fighting a battle for 4 or 5 years with no light at the end of the tunnel. And I held his hand when that gray mask of death fell over his face. And I want to tell you right now, I didn't weep for him, but I walked out on the front porch and I thanked God for the benefit.
Yeah.
Because the suffering was ceased. The cup had come. And thank God today, my friend, that there's going to come a time when this sinful world and all that's in it, God Almighty is going to be through with it. He's going to burn it up. And then I want to tell you right now that we can see then in the fullest form, the full production of the benefits of what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
Through the cup that he bore.
Yeah.
It passed and it was finished. And I'll tell you, when that was done, the hour of God came. There was an hour that he could not pass. They moved like pawns on a chessboard. They did it that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And when the scripture, when they had fulfilled, listen now, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Fulfillment of the scripture.
Yeah.
You see, that's not fatalism, that's his Bible. Yes, sir, that's his Bible. I'll tell you one thing today, my friend. I'm thankful for the benefits that I have in life. I've got some. You know, I've got a family. I've got friends. You know, I mean, I've got some benefits that are precious things. I've got a church and churches and people that love me. And I've preached all over the United States and most of Arkansas. Amen. Y'all pray over that and that'll come to you. But I want to tell you one thing today. That I've got some benefits that cannot be placed on the level with the value of money.
Right. Yeah.
I've got some benefits, and one of those is in Christ.
Right.
Can't pay for it. Couldn't get it for wanted. Yeah. You know how I got it? He gave it to me.
Right.
What a benefit.
Amen.
What a benefit. When Jesus died, what a benefit.
Right.
When he took the cup, what a benefit. When he went to the cross, what a benefit.
Yeah.
When they took him down, what a benefit.
Yeah.
When they laid him in the tomb, what a benefit.
Yeah.
When he arose from the dead, my God, what a benefit.
Yeah.
What a benefit it was.
Yeah.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And when the suffering is ceased and everything has come to its close, and we've sung our last song, we've preached our last message, thank God. I want to tell you right now that there's still something better that's above and beyond what we know. My God, what a benefit.
Yeah.
What a benefit it is for us today. May God help you not to lose sight of the benefits of what Christ has done.
Amen.